Today there are mostly, you know, questions, you know, questions are coming from me. What I just said, you know, I'm in development of wisdom. What I said to the Thais, the importance of sati, don't underestimate the importance of sati. Developing of the sati, or awareness. Awareness is aware of everything that what is going on in our heart. We develop this awareness through our practice of samadhi, through our knowing the breath or knowing the Buddha. And the more we know about the Buddha, the more we know about the breath, the better our sati becomes. And then we use the sati, you know, the sati are our inner eyes. Then we use the sati to develop wisdom. We develop wisdom by by really pinpointing our sati on one thing that we want to understand, that we want to know, be it the whole body or be it part of the body. And then we ask questions. And the answers or the panya or the wisdom that comes, you know, is coming from the citta that shows us, when we ask, you know, what is, you know, how did I die? So we look at the body and then it shows us, you know, what is happening in death. This is one way. Or the other way, it is coming in form of knowingness. If we know or we suddenly understand. It's not coming in form of thoughts, because form of thoughts, when it comes in form of thoughts, when we think about this, you know, this is not panya. This is just knowledge, all worldly knowledge, you know, and doesn't help us. When we want to develop, when we want to develop wisdom, we really have to pinpoint our sati onto one thing and then ask the right questions. Sometimes, you know, the question is not correctly right, so I mean the answer, you know, the answer that comes, you know, through seeing or through knowing is not completely correct, but it's not also not completely false. And the better our sati and the more direct our questions are, the better the wisdom that comes. The wisdom is all in our citta. The citta, I mean, has lived through billions of lives, you know. I mean, it knows everything. It knows every death, you know. It has seen, it has chopped up the bodies, you know. I mean, it knows everything. It even knows, you know, how this body is, you know, working. We just need to ask it, you know. We know, if you want to know how our brain is working, it knows it, What comes before, you know, anything happens in the brain, you know, the citta, And without the citta, the brain doesn't move, But when the citta wants to think something, you know, I mean, it sends the information or it sends the starter, you know, up to the brain, and then the brain starts to think, Okay? So, that's just what you know, just very short, Now, I mean, if you have any questions, you know, I mean, this is fine, you can ask them now, If you don't have any questions, then we read it out, You have any questions here?
Why do you have the sati mok when you have the dhamma? If you follow the dhamma, shouldn't the sati mok arise in you?
I mean the question is very valid, But when you look at your life, how often do you forget things? If you just think about the five precepts, how often do you forget one of the precepts? Or, you know, I mean, over the time the precepts become more, you know, more clearer, Oh, that wasn't right speech, or that wasn't this, you know, that wasn't correct in doing, So, we tend to forget, and that, because we tend to forget, you know, we have to repeat, I mean, just like the the Mechis, you know, repeat the eight precepts, Because we do tend to forget these things, I mean, Dhamma is okay, you know, but we don't have Dhamma 24 hours a day. Because there is also the Kilesas, And the Kilesas come up, you know, and in the moment the Kilesas come up, the Dhamma doesn't have any power. It knows afterwards, oh, that was not good, So training our memory, you know, in the Patimokkha or in our 227 roots, or for the Mechi, the 8 roots, you know, or for the Samani in the 10 roots, you know, it's a way, you know, not to forget. Yeah? I often forget. Nowadays, I know I even more forget anything. Yeah? And then, wasn't there something, you know? Okay? Any other question? Muchis? Huh? Colin? Huh? Who else is there? Alice?
No.
No. Okay, then read the question. So now.
So this is a continuation of another question, I think. So this person is asking about Mahasi Sayadaw technique, which he has used for about 3 years, and he was just wondering why with this particular method of meditation in comparison to Anapanasati and other methods, he oftentimes gets vivid images or scary visions or strong bodily sensations. And he wonders if this is somehow important and if you should stick with that method instead of the other ones.
With what does he get? With I don't know what the technique of Mahasayadaw is.
The belly.
Or the belly. Yes, there are a lot of, in English we have the same gut feeling, huh? So if you go to the belly, you know, and if you watch, you know, the abdomen rising and falling, I mean, there are a lot of other things, you know, disturbing things that come up, though. I mean, do anapanasati, you know, don't worry. And you cannot become still, yeah? With this mahasis, you get quiet enough, but you cannot become one-pointed. Because you move, you observe a point that constantly moves. So you cannot, this movement, you know, is prohibiting you to get into one-pointedness. Yeah? One-pointedness is the point of observation cannot move. Yeah? That's why we have around the tip of the nose, you know, the point, you know, or the point, you know, when we do buddho, that is the point, yeah. In this point, you know, when we stick to this, you know, we can go into one-pointedness, yeah. And one-pointedness is, I said, you know, it's important, you know, it's a preview of Nibbana for forever who wants to see, you know, what Nibbana is about, right? Because everything, this whole universe, you know, or Samde Lokatat, you know, they just disappear. Yeah? And when we come out, you know, it comes back. Yeah? And if we have been very long in this one-pointedness, I mean, you will see how this world is built up, you know, and then you understand, you know, why the Lord Buddha talked about, you know, this is all an illusion. Okay, next question.
Hello, Adrian. What is the karmic consequence if we indulge in feelings of anger mentally but don't verbally or physically direct anger at others? What kind of karmic consequences would it lead to in a future human birth?
It will lead to not only in the future human birth, but also in this birth, you know, that anger comes very often, yeah? If you don't investigate what comes before the anger and remove the seed of the anger, then this anger will come back to us, yeah? I mean, even though we don't express it, then the verbal karma of this anger or the physical karma of this anger doesn't come back to us. But the anger itself comes back to us, yeah? I mean, mentally, you know, I mean, we have three forms of karma, yeah? Mental karma, yeah? Verbal karma, and bodily action karma, yeah? So, if you don't cut down on the anger that comes up or flares up, yeah? And let it there, yeah? And don't find the seed, you know, and cut the seed, you know, or remove the seed of the anger, then the anger will constantly come, yeah? But the verbal, there will be no verbal effect, there will be no verbal or physical karma that comes back to us. But the mental karma always comes back to us. It's the same with thoughts, yeah? I mean, if you think a certain kind of thought, you know, I'm very often, I mean, we can even see it in this life, when we think something very often, you know, this comes back to us, yeah? And unless we cut it off and said, you know, this is garbage, 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 and then it doesn't come back. Okay, next.
I take every month 45 days off for practice, and I'm wondering if it is best for me to stay at home and to have more hours of meditation, or to go to a monastery where I need to drive for about 4 hours, and I work quite a lot there for 5 hours, but I have better concentration and mindfulness during my practice when he goes to the monastery.
I mean, every month he takes 45 days?
Four
off?
To five.
What?
Four to five.
Of 4 to 5
days. We'll be coming from.
That would be amazing, this month, you know, I want to have this kind of month. Where you have a month and can take 45 days off. 4 to 5 days off. I mean, this is difficult to answer, yeah? I mean, sometimes, you know, you should go to the monastery, but find another monastery where you don't have to work. Yeah? I mean, Don't go to monastery where they make you work, you know, for 5 to 8 hours a day, you know, and then you just sit and fall asleep, yeah? find another monastery, you know, I mean, or do it at home, you know, and see, you know. You really have to examine the difference. Huh? He says, you know, you have his better concentration when he's in a monastery. Yes, and that is clear, because, I mean, you cut yourself off the world that you live in, you know, when you have a house, you know, so many things, and all your thoughts, all your memories, all your things are within this house, yeah? So, I mean, you start to meditate, and of course these come in, yeah? When you drive away, I mean, he can also try it, you know, and find a nice place, you know, I don't know, it's probably somewhere in America or Canada, I mean, find a nice place, open space, yeah? And then go there and meditate and see the difference. Yeah?
So this person is talking about a specific experience while they were meditating. They decided to speed up the chanting of the Buddha. But after that they felt their eyes burning and twitching and they felt spicy. They tried to observe the pain. But they couldn't really, and they felt a force pulling them out of their body. and then they tried to do a body scan, but they couldn't really because they were in a shocked state. After that, they had a quiet sitting the next day, and it was all back to normal, but they would like to ask what they could have done to focus better or in such a situation not to get shocked so easily.
Sometimes, you know, it can happen, you know, when you do some chanting that there are some hungry ghosts around you, you know, and they don't like, you know, when you're chanting, so I mean they try to interrupt you, no? Or sometimes, you know, it could be the feeling is, you know, that they try to pull you out of the body. You did something wrong with the chanting. I mean, don't speed up the chanting, you know. Just, you know, I mean, be really careful, you know. I mean, put yourself completely, just like you know, when you chant, put yourself completely in the chant that there's nothing else than the chant itself, yeah. I mean, in that case, nothing will happen, yeah. But if you just memorize and while you're chanting, you think about this and think about that, I mean, this is always dangerous, yeah? It can lead to lots of things. Yeah?
They were talking about chanting the Buddha, so I think they were just practicing, but the same answer.
Oh, chanting the Buddha, it's the same thing, yeah? I mean, you know, Buddha, 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 and I look, yeah, I mean, oh, this is nice, Buddha, Buddha, and I look there, oh, the sky, oh, there's rain, you know? I mean, these thoughts are constantly coming in, yeah? So, I mean, I have to be completely with the Buddha. I was talking in the beginning about it, you know, the more we are the Buddha, the more we know about the Buddha, yeah? I mean, the better it is, yeah? It works for both things, you know, be it the Buddha or be it the chant, and be it the Buddhist chant, you know, the same thing, yeah? completely fall into it. Yeah, I mean, I know it is, especially for Westerners, it's very difficult to let oneself fall into it. But when we fall into the Buddha, you know, it's so easy. Then nothing distracts us. Okay, next question.
German.
Okay, yeah, German. You've got German.
Please speak. Was würden Sie sagen, sind die wichtigsten Dinge für einen Theravada-Laien, die er machen oder praktizieren soll und welcher keine Sangha in der Nähe hat? Sila, Meditation, wenn welche oder das Majjhima Nikaya lesen? Und wie kann er im Dhamma wachsen ohne eine Sangha oder ist es überhaupt möglich zu erwachen oder nur eine bessere Reinkarnation zu erreichen? Danke.
Es sind so viele Fragen in einer Frage, ja.
Was soll er machen als Laie, Theravada-Laie?
Also, als Laie 5 Tugendregeln einhalten. Das ist A und O, das ist die Basis. Als nächste Basis, er sollte mal die Vorträge von mir anhören. Was sind die Vor? What is it, prerequisite? Was ist das auf Deutsch? Voraussetzungen. Ja. Voraussetzungen, dass unsere Praxis tiefer geht. Großzügigkeit. Ja. Das kann man überall, ne? Das kann man überall praktizieren. Respekt. Ja. Achtung vor allen Wesen. Ja. Egal, ob sie gut sind oder schlecht sind. Ja. Kannst du auch überall üben. Und Dankbarkeit, für was auch immer dir gegeben wird. Ne? Selbst, wir sollten erstmal unseren Eltern sehr dankbar sein, ne? Dass sie uns 20 Jahre lang großgezogen haben und ständig unterstützt haben. Ne? Aber wir können auch unseren Freunden dankbar sein, wir können unseren Lehrern dankbar sein. Ne? Egal, ne? Was für Typen das sind. Ne? Sie haben uns versucht, etwas beizubringen, dafür sind wir dankbar. Dankbarkeit ist, ja, das sind alle Sachen, die wir üben, tagtäglich üben können. Und die uns fördern, ne? Das sind nicht Sachen, die uns an irgendetwas hindern, ne? Großzügigkeit, Respekt, Achtung, Dankbarkeit. Ne? Das sind Sachen, ne? Das sind die Voraussetzungen, dass wir wirklich tiefer in unsere Praxis kommen. Und dann können wir Anapanasati machen, ne? Anapanasati oder das Buddha machen, ne? Und unsere Praxis vertiefen. Ne? Natürlich kann man die Majjhima Nikaya lesen, ne? und kommt natürlich auf die Übersetzung drauf an. Es gibt gute Übersetzungen und es gibt ganz schlechte Übersetzungen. Ne? Übersetzungen, die Wörter verwenden, die misleading sind, die uns in die Irre führen. Und Vorträge anhören, ne? von Lehren, die wir mögen oder wo wir ein Vertrauen dazu haben. Ne? Und aber vor allem praktizieren. Ne? Und wenn wir Zeit und Möglichkeit haben, irgendwo in ein Kloster zu gehen und da weiter. Ne? Und das ist das, was man als Theravada-Laie machen kann. Ne? So, ne? Das ist alles. Alex, understood? Ne? no German, no Deutsch. So, ne?
When I sit in meditation, I can hear the pulse beating in my head and it disturbs me. I tried to use itibiso to the beat of the pulse, but that didn't help. Please, have you any advice for me?
Be more interested in breath. You know, I don't know what he's doing. Yeah, I mean, use the breath or use the Buddha and be more. If you're interested in the pulse beating, you know, I mean, it's something, you know. When you do it and get used to it, you know, I mean, of course, your interest always goes there, is the pulse still beating? Yeah? Now you have to take this part of the interest back to the Buddha or back to the breath. Yeah? It takes a while, but it is possible. Yeah? Whatever, yeah? I mean, that every one of us probably has the same experience, you know, I mean, we latch onto something, yeah? Just like in the last Zoom session, you know, somebody latches on the music and he always hears the music, yeah? I mean, so he has to pull this interest when he sees, yeah, when he sees, you know, that it goes to the pulse, yeah, then put this interest back into the Buddha, yeah. But because he's bored with the Buddha or he's bored with the breath, you know, I mean, he looks for all the things that are interesting. And that's why he gets stuck onto it. Next.
As children, we try to guide our parents so they don't break the five precepts as advised by the Buddha. Overall, it's been quite...
Never heard that. Normally the parents teach the children, you know. Okay.
Overall, it's been quite good, but they do not keep them consistent yet. My question is, I want to try to guide them to the next level, and they want to teach them the Four Noble Truths, but they don't find a good opportunity, and they feel like they don't have the wisdom for it, so they get anxious, and they're just not sure if they, how they could teach them the higher Dhamma, basically.
First teach yourself. Yeah? Until you get off a level of, you know, no questions anymore. Yeah? And then you can teach others. The only way that you can teach parents or friends or anybody is when they show interest in what you are doing. And then you have to be very careful. Yeah? You tell them or you talk to them or you teach them, and the moment their interest is gone, you instantly have to stop. But we always want to teach, you know, and it is some sort of conceit that we want to teach others how to do better, yeah? Because we ourselves cannot do it, yeah? It's everywhere the same, yeah? I mean, I see it so often, you know, I mean, some of the lay people here, the Thai lay people, you know, I mean, they teach meditation, but they cannot do meditation themselves, yeah? I mean, what is the purpose, you know, you misguide other people. Learn it for yourself, yeah? Until you have no urge of teaching others, then you can teach. Okay? Teaching my parents. Yeah. My mother, you know, I mean, in the beginning when I started meditation, she said something, you know, I mean, what you do is wrong, yeah? Hmm? I said, don't worry, I know that what I'm doing is right, yeah? And then, yeah, 1 year later, when I turned around 180 degrees, what are you doing? What are you doing? Can you teach me? Yeah, then you can teach. Yeah? If somebody is interested, yeah. But you also have to stop instantly, you know, I mean, when their interest in what you say is fading away. And that is so difficult for us, because we don't know it. We are in the self, you know, self mode or self-teaching mode, yeah. Next. What? Oh, okay. Any questions? What?
Yeah, that's my question. No. So, how effective is it, or how durable is the solution of replacing an unwholesome emotion with a wholesome emotion? For example, let's say there's anger.
Yeah.
If I replace that with, let's say, metta,
yeah,
how effective is that and how durable is that? Or should I just go back to the Buddha or the breath?
I mean, in most cases, just go back to the Buddha, but also, you know, I mean, ask what came before the anger arose. What kind of thoughts? What kind of memory? You want to take out the seed that caused the anger. Yes. Yeah. But you can, of course, you know, I mean, if the anger is already so strong, you know, you can try, you know, to do some metta. But, you know, it is very difficult. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah. So, then better go to the Buddha until then. Yeah? I mean, if you do, the anger feeds on something. It feeds on memories and feeds on thoughts. Yeah? So replace all these memories and thoughts with Buddha, 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 Buddha until the anger subsides.
And then
ask the question, you know, what came before. Yeah? If you don't see it, you know, I mean, then stop the Buddha, yeah, and then see. And it instantly comes back, the anger, because the thought, and then you might even see it clearer what kind of thought, and what kind of memory led to this anger. Any other question? No, they're all doing fine, you know. So, don't waste your time, yeah. It's already 1 month of the Pantha, yeah. Even though, you know, I mean, within the pancha or outside of the pancha, it's always the same. Every day is, we wake up and do our buddho and until we go to sleep. And yeah. Okay, use the time wisely. Yeah. Practice as much as you can and a little bit more. Just every day a little bit more. Just 2 or 3 seconds more. Yeah. I mean, over time, you know, it will pile up and becomes hours, you know. And, yeah. And if you can't face a problem, yeah, I mean, if you have really difficult, yeah, then just tell yourself, okay, the Kilesas defeated me. Raise your white flag. You said, I give up, I give up, I give up. But know that you give up. Not just, you know, just stop. Know that you give up. And at the same time, you tell yourself, okay, next time, I just do a little bit more. I don't give up, I don't give in so easily, you know. 1 second or 2 seconds or 3 seconds, yeah. In this way, you will sooner or later overcome the problem.
You put more and more resistance up.
But you have to realize, you know, you have to tell yourself, okay, the Kilesas defeat me. They defeat me all the time, you know. I mean, we go into the boxing ring with the Kilesas, and the Kilesas is the champions, yeah. I mean, and we are, yeah. So, I mean, they knock us out, you know. Okay, then we wake up, you know, and then we go in the ring again, yeah. Lungta Mahabho used this example, and I found it so really, yeah, because that's the way we do it, yeah.
Tactical retreat.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you go in again. And next time you can stay a little bit longer and a little bit longer, and the longer we can stay, we see how he hits us, yeah. And then we can duck, you know. And once we can duck, you know, we can actually give him a blow as well, you know. So he gets knocked out. The Kilesas get knocked out for a while. And this is amazing, yeah, when they get knocked out. Because then, yeah, nobody's controlling you. Yeah? Okay?